Father, we need you. We do need you. And Lord, I need you now to take this message and make it not a sermon or a homily, but a sign of your glory and your presence, not for the sake of this people, but for the sake of your Son and the world who knows you not. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So today, we round the last stretch of Lent. Next week, we have Palm Sunday, and then it's Easter, and we have the great celebration. We have Holy Week. We have all of those wonderful services and sermons, hopefully. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the blessed time of Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, and Easter, and sunrise services, and it's just an incredibly blessed time, and I'm already excited about it. I'm already passionate about it. I am so excited because I have this anticipation, not just of next week, but of what God's doing today, what God is already doing today, because I've already seen him move in the service today, and I've seen what he was going to do earlier this week. I looked at the readings, and immediately God quickened in my spirit, and I knew that this was going to be an amazing, amazing service, and I am really excited about it. And I looked at the readings, and I saw Lazarus, and the words, "Lazarus, come out," just jumped into my spirit, because we've heard these sermons, we've heard these passages from the gospel year after year after year. So what is it that we're going to say this time that we haven't heard before? And so I look at them and say, all right, Lord, tell me. There's 44 verses of this gospel passage. There's got to be something I can say that's new and fresh. Oh, we're going to just go with what God has. You know, there was much ado this year about the movie Son of God. And for what it was trying to do, it did a good job. It was trying to create a cinematic experience that exposed unbelievers who had never heard or seen the gospel to the gospel for the first time. And if you had never heard the story of Jesus, that was great. If you were familiar with it, yeah, not so much. Just being honest. Okay? Now there are some people who are going to be, oh, you're being judgmental and you want to do a better job. Well, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm obviously not a movie maker. But there are some really important things that they really botched. Okay? The call of Lazarus was one of them. Let's look at some things that they got completely wrong. In the movie Son of God, Jesus and his disciples are somewhere, and somebody comes out and they say, Lazarus is sick. He's dying. And Jesus is like, oh no. And he hops up and he gathers his boys and Mary, who's always with them, and they just go racing to Bethany. And unfortunately, Lazarus is already dead. Okay? Which we know from the gospel that we just heard wasn't the case. Lazarus, they find out he's sick, and Jesus sits there and says, okay. And the apostles are like, no. Lazarus of Bethany, your friend, you know, Mary and Martha's brother, you're probably thinking of Lazarus of Capernaum. He was kind of a jerk when we were there. The other guy. Yes, I know. Okay. Sure. And then, about 2 days later, It's time to go to Judea. Lord, you know they want to kill you in Judea. Yes, I know. Okay, well, let's go to Judea that we can die too. Lazarus has gone to sleep. Oh, good, he'll get some rest. He'll recover. No, he's not gone to sleep. He's dead. And it's a good thing that he's died, because now you can see God's glory. That is a hard lesson. It's not about you. It's about God's glory. That is a bitter pill. It's not about you. It's that God's glory can be revealed. Frankly, if you didn't think about any other scripture for the rest of Lent until Easter Sunday, you could sit and ponder that one for a very long time and still not have really gotten through the depth of that little morsel of scripture. But Jesus says this will be done so that God's glory can be revealed. This is one of the signs that Jesus works in John's gospel. Remember, the last one was taking a man who was blind from birth and restoring his sight. This is not really restoring, it's giving him sight. But now he's going, and he's going to bring someone back from the dead. And he gets to Bethany, and notice what is said when he gets there. I know that even now, whatever you ask, God will do. So they all gather around the tomb. And in the movie, Jesus is like, roll away the stone. And he goes in, and there's this body laying there, completely unwrapped, just like a corpse laying there. And he picks him up, and he holds his head, and he kind of cradles his head, and he sort of casts some weird kind of spell over his head and kind of breathes over him. And all of a sudden, the eyes open up, and it's kind of ghoulish, really. And then he draws this deep breath, kind of like every bad movie that you've ever seen where somebody just like thumps on the chest and finally the person's like, it's a little hammy, I'm not going to lie. Anybody seen it? Who's seen it? Am I describing it poorly? No. Okay, so. But that didn't happen in the passage. In the passage, Jesus stands there and he's deeply moved. He's crying. Jesus wept. And they say, see how he loved him. Why didn't he come here? He could have prevented this guy from dying. He could have healed him. Well, of course he could have healed him. Jesus heals all sorts of people. But this is a whole new level of miracle. Because when he says, roll away the stone, he said, but Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. There'll be an aroma. In the original King James, it says, but Master, he stinketh. When I was in seminary, this passage was read at the Easter Vigil before one of my classmates was having a child who was baptized. And the child happened to have filled his diaper right before this passage was led. And the guy was standing right next to me with his child. And he looked over at me and said, he stinketh. I always think of this guy whenever I hear, but Master, he stinketh. But in reality, the Jews had a tradition that the spirit hovered over the body for 3 days. Lazarus had been dead for 4. So, in the words of Munchkinland, He wasn't just merely dead. He was really most sincerely dead. The spirit had left the building. He was gone. And Jesus doesn't go in there and wave his magic wand. He doesn't hold his head and breathe over him. He doesn't do anything like what God did in Genesis, breathing his breath into Adam. He stands at the tomb and says, "Lazarus, come out." And by sheer authority, he speaks over death. And Lazarus comes out. He doesn't anoint him, doesn't make the sign of the cross, doesn't wave his hands around, doesn't spit in mud, doesn't do anything. He speaks by authority. And things change. Lazarus comes out. But Lazarus is still wrapped in grave clothes. He's practically mummified. Now, they wouldn't have gone through all of the rigmarole that the Egyptians did with all of the jars and removing the organs and putting them in the little idol jars with the cat heads and the different deities and pulling the organs out and any of that kind of stuff. But they would have anointed the body and they would have wrapped it in shrouds. He would have been, in outward appearance, practically mummified. And when he moved out, he was still wrapped up. And they had to remove those wrappings from him. It would have been a little disturbing. And let me tell you, that news spread quickly. And later on we hear that because he raised that, the high priest and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were trying to kill him because news got out that Jesus had raised a man who'd been dead for 4 days. He'd restored the sight of a man who'd been blind from birth. This whole prophet thing from Nazareth was getting out of hand. Okay, some little faith healer, some little prophet. Okay, this is a whole new level. This whole cleansing the temple nonsense that's about to happen, yeah, not okay. But let me tell you that this isn't about Lazarus. It's about us. Because we have been dead in our sins. We have been wrapped up and buried and in a tomb. And he spoke to us. And he said, "Come out." And we did. And really, it wasn't even about us. Because if it was about us, then as soon as he got us, he'd have taken us up to heaven. And frankly, that might have testified. If every time a Christian got saved, they got zipped up to heaven, that might be a little bit of interesting testimony. Christians started disappearing every time they converted. That might say something. But it's not about that. Because we're not called to get saved just so we can say that we've been saved and sit around and wait for the rapture or wait to die so we can go to heaven. Because we have a commission. We're called to go out and make disciples. We're called to baptize. We have to draw men to us so that we can share what we have. And the problem is that, like Lazarus, many of us stink. we still smell like the grave. We still are trapped in our sin, or are still harboring unforgiveness, or are still bound up in agony of the past, or torments, or whatever. We're still wrapped in burial clothes. We may not have ever gotten out of the tomb. Jesus has called us. He's called us each by name and said, come out. And we've responded. And some of us haven't taken on the aroma of Christ. We haven't gotten rid of the burial clothes yet. Some of us don't put forward that aroma of Christ. Now, some of us doing better than others. Some of us have better days than others. Maybe somebody just has one little rag they're kind of dragging around. Maybe somebody's doing fantastic. I have my better days and my worst days. Sometimes I feel totally bound up. Sometimes I feel like I've been in the grave so long, there's no flesh left to come out. But that's okay too. Because even when it's nothing but dry bones, he can work with that too. Because that valley of dry bones wasn't just a metaphor. That was a place. It was a real place. Because Ezekiel, he was one of the first people taken exile when the Babylonians came and attacked Jerusalem. He was taken off into Babylon when he was 29 years old. You know why that's important? Because when you were 30 years old, you got to serve as a priest in the temple. He was this close to living out his life's dream, and he got snatched away. He never got to serve as a priest in the temple, even though it was what he trained for his whole life. And there in Babylon, sitting there languishing, God gives him this valley of dry bones, this vision. But it's not just any valley. It was the Kidron Valley. It was the valley that Jesus crossed over the night of the Last Supper, the night that he was handed over to suffering and death. It was the valley that he crossed over to go into Gethsemane. And it was the valley that was right across from the temple. It was the valley that Jesus could look across and see the temple. It was the valley that Ezekiel could look across and see the temple. And it was the valley that when the Babylonians went in there and slaughtered countless people, they turned it into a mass grave and dumped countless bodies in there. And what did God do? He breathed his breath, and it came back to life. And they were an army. We've been singing this song for months now. There's an army rising up to break every chain. That army is the army of God. It's us. And we're going out, but not with arms, with the love of God. But we can't do that if we stink like the grave. We have to bring forth the aroma of Christ. We have been dead in sin, and Christ died and rose again, and we get to rise with him. Paul talks about it in Romans. In Romans chapter 6, he says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives unto God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's Romans 6, verses 8 through 11. We even hear this in the psalm today. "Out of the depths I cry to you." I don't know what troubles you. I don't know what grave clothes are holding you back. But I know that Lent is this close to being over. This close. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We're going to stand out with palms and proclaim the glory of the coming King, and then we're going to talk about his passion. And then we go into Holy Week, and then it's Easter. And we celebrate his resurrection. And I don't want anything holding you back. I want you to be able to minister to the whole city, to anybody who comes to you. And I want them to smell God on you in their spirit. I want them to not even know what that is. I want that to be an incense that just exudes from your soul. And they get near you and just know it in their spirit. And they don't even know what a spirit is. And today is the day that we're going to shake off the burial clothes. Jesus has called you, and he said, "Lazarus, come out." He's called you by name and said, "Come out." And if there is any reason you're stuck in the tomb, if there's any burial clothes that are clinging to your flesh, it's time to come up and it's time to get prayer. If there is any sin that holds you back, it's time to come and confess it. If there is anything, now is the day. Now is the time. It's not easy, but it's the easiest thing in the world. Brief testimony. I was at the Lenten retreat this weekend, made my confession. Easiest thing in the world. Went to one of my colleagues, made my confession, got absolution, went off, did my own thing afterwards. A couple hours later, absolutely convicted by God. "You didn't say this. You knew it. You thought it when you were sitting there, and you held back because of shame. What were you thinking?" I got up, I grabbed him, said, "I need you for another 2 minutes. I didn't say one thing. I should have. You know what he said? "I absolve you of that too. You're forgiven." That was a big deal. It troubled me. Did it trouble God? No. The things that hold us back don't hold God back. We're in a prison of our own making. God's called you out. He didn't have to cast a spell. He didn't have to wave a magic wand. All he had to say, "Come out and remove the clothes." If it's sin, if it's unforgiveness, if it's disease, whatever is holding you back from ministering. If you know it's something, and you don't even know what it is, but there's something that's holding you back and you can't put your finger on it, come forward. Say, I don't know. Pray for me. Pray for me. I know there's something holding me back. Help me. You know, God can reveal it to one of the intercessors, whether it's a priest or one of the people that's praying with us. Right now,